Unto You, a Christmas Sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
The angel can tell those shepherds and tell us, this child has been born unto you. This child has been born for you.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift before the end of the year. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2011.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Should I even say something like Merry Christmas? You know, I've been talking to guests, and as the holiday does approach, you can't help yourself. You say Merry Christmas. But should Christians say such a thing? After all, I've heard lately that Christmas is a pagan holiday. I've also heard Christians say it's just a Hallmark holiday. It's just about Black Fridays and Mondays and making money, retail. Or, now we don't have a Christmas tree in the Wilkin house this year because we've got four cats running around who can't mind their manners and they would destroy it. But we did go out and buy a wreath yesterday and hang ornaments on it up high on the wall. Is that something forbidden in the Bible? Say Jeremiah 10, where they talk about cutting down trees and decorating them. We'll answer those questions here for the last half hour of Issues Etc. today. Gretchen Passantino is our guest. Is Christmas even Christian? She's co-founder of Answers in Action based in Costa Mesa, California. You can join us with questions or comments for the next 25 minutes. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. It's Monday, December the 15th. Gretchen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, Todd. I have no problem saying it all, at all. Christmas means celebrating the birth of Christ, and I am so happy that Christ came to live for us, to die for us, to rise again from the dead, and he's coming again to restore all things. I'm so happy about that. Merry Christmas.
And Will, and Merry Christmas to you, too. I've heard Jehovah's Witnesses try and make the argument that Christmas is a pagan holiday, thoroughly unchristian, but nowadays you hear Christians making the same kind of argument. Is there anything to this concern about Christmas and Christians celebrating it?
Christmas is not a pagan holiday at all. Christmas is the holiday that the Christian church has chosen to honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to honor his incarnation and to look forward to his second coming. On our Answers in Action website that your listeners can reach through your website, we have four articles on Christmas, and one of them is specifically answering the typical arguments, is God against Christmas? It is the case that there was a pagan holiday in the middle of December that was popular throughout the Roman Empire at the time of Jesus. But that pagan holiday was dedicated to the sun god, a limited, finite god who could be bought off with sacrifices and rituals. And it was really just like a big man with some superhuman powers, but with just the same proclivities for sin and everything else as any human being. And the Christians deliberately chose December 25 as the day to honor the only true Lord and the only true King, Jesus Christ, specifically to overcome and contrast that pagan holiday. It was to replace the pagan holiday, not compromise with the pagan holiday.
So this wasn't a Christian saying, wow, the pagans have all the fun, let's have some fun too, but we'll just kind of slap some Christian-sounding symbolism on it and get our fun out of the thing.
You know, my husband and I were talking the other night, and we were talking about when we were very young and very foolish and we were not Christians, and what we termed fun then was things like getting drunk and hanging out with our friends and disrespecting the establishment. In my hippie days, that was one of my favorite things. And, you know, when you compare getting drunk, acting stupid, having a hangover with eternal life with the God of the universe, with no sin, no sickness, no pain, no evil, no suffering, fulfilling everything you've been created for, boy, I wouldn't trade one for the other. I wouldn't trade the grace and the wonders of eternal life for what the pagans have to offer, and none of the Christians in the time of Jesus would have done that either. They were offering something better than the pagan celebrations. The pagans thought they were having fun, but they missed the true joy, the true peace, the everlasting life that Jesus offered. That's way more than any fun that any pagan holiday can give you.
Some would say, you know, we can't really know for sure when Jesus was born. It's most likely not December 25th. And if the date comes more from trying to counteract a pagan holiday, we shouldn't be celebrating Christ's birth on December 25th if that's not really when he was born. How do you respond?
Well, you know, in the days of Jesus, people usually didn't celebrate their birthdays. They usually knew the season that they were born in and approximately the year they were born in. But that really wasn't a very important thing in their culture. It's important in our culture for, you know, basically mostly non-religious reasons. But we celebrate Jesus' birth just as the shepherds did when they came and worshiped at the manger, just as the angels did when they appeared in the heavens and said, "Rejoice, I bring you good tidings of good news. Unto you is born in the city of David this day a child who is the Savior, the Son of God," as the wise men did when they came and presented what was the most costly possession they had to the little child lying in the manger. We follow in the paths of those people designated by God, to point out to us that the birth of Christ is definitely something to be celebrated, definitely something that's wonderful. It's the means by which we are saved from our sins by his death, burial, and resurrection.
Do you have any thoughts on the real date of Christ's birth? Or, given what you've just said there, we can celebrate this whenever we want to, but do you have any thoughts on the actual date?
We could celebrate it whenever we want to. We don't really know when Jesus was born. Some people, especially a lot of people in the Messianic Jewish movement, try to date it using some of the old priest lists and some of the different holidays that are listed in the Jewish calendar. But we do know that there were a number of times when those priest lists and those Jewish holidays were interrupted and changed at different times in Jewish history. I know you received an email from one of your listeners who had a copy of an article that said that, according to the first century historian Josephus, none of the dates of the priests serving in the temple, which would have included John the Baptist, Father Zechariah, that none of those dates had been altered or interfered with in many centuries, but that's probably not an accurate statement by Josephus. Josephus was a PR man for the Jews to the Romans, and there were a number of things that he said with great certainty and authority that probably are contrary to fact. But it doesn't really matter when Jesus was born. What matters is that he was born, that he was, as Paul describes him, the second Adam, that he took our place in his act of obedience in his life of perfect submission to the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit, that he submitted to death, even death on the cross, that he bore our sins in his own body on the cross, that he was in the grave for 3 days, and that then he rose again from the dead so that we too could have new life, so that we could have our sins forgiven by what he did. When the early Christians chose to pick the most important Roman holiday, Saturnalia, and overcome that or replace it with a celebration of Jesus' birth, they were making the declaration that the Roman Empire is not the salvation of the world, Caesar is not the salvation of the world, the god Saturnalia is not the salvation of the world, Jesus Christ is the salvation of the world. When we as Christians celebrate his birthday for that purpose, not for the purpose of shopping, not for the purpose of spending a lot of money, not for the purpose of getting people to like you because you gave them presents, not for the purpose of going to a party and getting drunk, but when we celebrate it to honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to share that good news with our neighbors, then we are truly honoring God.
Okay, here's one that I think startles Christians a bit when they hear it. It's an argument against one of the aspects of celebrating Christmas, that is, getting a Christmas tree, either in the house or elsewhere. I mean, we have them in churches, too. Jeremiah chapter 10, beginning at the first verse, "Learn not the ways of the nations, nor be dismayed at the signs of the heavens, because the nations are dismayed at them. For the customs of people are vanity. A tree is cut down in the forest, worked with an axe by the hands of a craftsman. They decorate it with silver and gold." I've heard Christians argue That's talking about Christmas trees. And if you've got a Christmas tree in your house, you've got an idol in your house.
There, Jeremiah 10, and there's another place in Jeremiah and two places in Isaiah that talk about exactly the same thing. And what they're talking about is the Kmart brand of idol worship. You can't afford a solid gold idol or a solid silver idol or an idol inlaid with precious gems. So you cut a branch or a log or a tree, and you fashion that into an idol, and you cover it with gold leaf or silver leaf or with something that looks like gold or silver, and you bow down and worship it. It's not talking about Christmas trees at all. I would say this. If you bow down and worship your Christmas tree and think that it's a god and think that something that can be grown on a tree farm that you can cut down and haul into your house and move whatever way you want it to and then throw it out afterwards, if you think that is a god that can answer your prayers and solve your problems, you need way more help than a Christmas decorator. But if you use the Christmas tree as a sign, as a symbol, as a reminder that in Christ we have eternal life, just like the pine tree never sheds its needles but always stays green, if it reminds you of the doctrine of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triangle shape has long been a symbol for the Trinity, and the shape of the tree reminds you of that. If the lights on it remind you that Christ is the light of the world and that we are called to be his lights by the Holy Spirit in us. If you see the star on the top of the tree and it reminds you that God guides us to the Savior, we don't have to go search for him. God brings us to him. If that's the way you use a Christmas tree, then you're honoring God. You're not disrespecting him.
Gretchen Pasentino is our guest. Is Christmas Christian? I want to hear from you. Do you think that Christians should or shouldn't observe Christmas? What kind of objections have you heard about the celebration of Christmas? 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MYIE. We'll be right back.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Abortion and the economy.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Have you ever considered that the current economic downturn might be related to abortion? How have all the missing children impacted our society? Dennis Howard of Movement for a Better America makes the argument, no matter how you slice it, aggressive population control exacts a huge price in future economic growth that can never be recovered. Indeed, it is a loss that reverberates through all future generations. Without an enormous new baby boom lasting another 40 or 50 years, that growth is lost forever. We don't have a debt crisis. We have a death crisis.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Talking with Gretchen Pasentino, answering questions about Christmas and concerns that Christians sometimes have about observing this holiday. Is it Christian? Is it pagan? What do you think? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Hey, Are you looking for some good Bible study material for the new year? There's all sorts of bad Bible study material out there. What about something that actually takes you into the Bible itself rather than in some author's notions of how to improve your life? A longer look at the lessons. The church reads through the Bible on a regular basis in its historic lectionary, and those are often called the scripture lessons. A longer look at the lessons takes you into this historic reading from scripture on a weekly basis. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's an easy-to-download Bible study. It only costs $30 per quarter. You can also order a longer look at the lessons at www.cph.org, cph.org, a new Bible study resource from Concordia Publishing House, a longer look at the lessons. Gretchen, we talked about the Christmas tree. We talked about the whole idea of there being pagan roots to the Christian celebration of Christmas. Some other objections that I'd like to bounce off of you, and that is Santa Claus. He's a big fat lie, and Christians shouldn't lie, and Santa Claus has no place. Even if you're going to do Christmas, no Santa Claus.
Well, Santa Claus is a corruption of a name of a bishop in the early Christian church. It's actually a corruption that became popular in the 17th and in the 18th century in America when Germans came to America and settled mostly in areas like Pennsylvania. And when the Dutch or the Germans said the word for Saint Nicholas, it sounded to American ears like Santa Claus. But Saint Nicholas was the bishop of Myra, an area, and today we would call it present-day Turkey, in the 4th century. That would have been the 300s. He was a great champion of the doctrine of the Trinity, and he came from a very wealthy family. He was the last male heir in his family, and he achieved a lot of consternation among his extended family when he chose to take his entire fortune and dedicate it to helping people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He spent his whole life very carefully divesting himself of the fortune that his family had generated over multiple generations. He was a Roman nobleman and used it to help people who were in need. There are a number of unwritten traditions that have grown up about who he helped and how he helped them. They may be more or less true, but we can be confident of the fact that he was a Christian who demonstrated his faith not only by dedicating his life to be a preacher and a teacher of the Word of God, not only by defending the doctrine of the Trinity, but also by ensuring that everything that he had in this world would be used for the furtherance of the gospel. He knew he could take none of it with him into the next world except what he had done for the Lord. It is after the pattern of Saint Nicholas, whose saint day is December 6th, that we get the traditions of Santa Claus. When my own children were little, I told them about the real Saint Nicholas, how he was a man who loved Jesus, who told other people about Jesus, and who gave his life as a martyr when he was told to stop preaching the gospel or he would be killed. He offered his life up and was killed rather than stopping preaching the gospel. And that Saint Nicholas is now immediately in the presence of God before his throne, and we'll be spending eternity with him and with all of our other brothers and sisters in Christ, many of whom have been such great examples to us in previous centuries. My children enjoyed the story of Saint Nicholas. They liked knowing that he was a real person who did real things for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when they saw Santa Clauses in the mall or, you know, in the middle of the city or places like that, they didn't think, bad, mean, pagan, oh no, I have to be afraid. They thought, oh, that reminds us of Saint Nicholas. These people are silly. They don't understand that his real name is Saint Nicholas. They think he drives reindeer and lives at the North Pole, but we know different. He's a real person who loved Jesus. He's in heaven, and he lived his life telling people about the gospel. I think that's a great way to give kids the opportunity to enjoy the true Christian spirit of Christmas without making them afraid of things that ought to be reminding them of the truths of the gospel.
Okay, one last one for you to respond to, and that is, Look, Christmas, whatever it may be, it's certainly become nothing more than a Hallmark holiday, a Walmart holiday, a Home Depot holiday. It's really all about the bottom line of the retail business, which may not be bad in and of itself, but it's just a commercial holiday and encourages things like greed and discontent with what you have. And for that reason, Christians should steer clear.
So let me ask a rhetorical question. So it's going to be less that way if Christians retreat from it? No, it will be less that way if Christians boldly stand forth and say, Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ. Christmas is the opportunity to tell the gospel. Let me leave you with two short stories. One happened to me last week. I walked into my local bank, and there were no decorations in it. And I went up to the bank manager, who's a friend of mine, and I said, Lou, I'm so disappointed. You're way behind the times. Usually you're really good on this. Where are your Christmas decorations? And she said, well, since our bank got taken over by one of the bailout plans, they told us we can't celebrate Christmas anymore. We might offend somebody. And I told her, I said, well, you know what? I'm one of your customers, and I'm offended that you can't decorate for Christmas. So I went out and I bought her a really nice, tasteful poinsettia with a balloon in it that said Merry Christmas on it. And I brought it in and I said, Lou, here's a gift for you from one of your customers. Thank you so much for being a good bank manager, and I hope you have a Merry Christmas. And there it sits on her desk, telling people the real meaning of Christmas is not some bank policy, not some politically correct thing, but it's the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. The other story is just recently, you know, my husband and I went to China 2 years ago and were able to fellowship with a lot of Christian brothers and sisters there who have suffered so much for their faith in Christ. And just recently we heard that some of the people we fellowshipped with were arrested because they were having Bible studies in homes with more than 20 people, and that was against the law. Now, they had had many Bible studies before with 20 people or fewer, and that was legal. Or they would have larger Bible studies in public places like a restaurant or a hotel meeting room, and that was okay because the government could listen in on them. But these Christians had a burden on their heart to share the gospel with university administrators, employers, and government officials. They tried sharing the gospel with them, and nobody wanted to listen to them. So they prayed, and they decided to have Bible studies in private homes with more than 20 people. The last day of their fall Bible training, the police swooped in and arrested all of them, 400 students and 9 spiritual leaders. And they had to testify to their faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ to the police who arrested them. Then they each got to testify to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to their employers or their university administrators if they were college students. And then the young Christian students were released into the custody of their parents and had to testify to their parents that they believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the 9 spiritual leaders were convicted and sent to prison for a year and a half at hard labor re-education. So now they have to testify to the gospel of Jesus Christ to their fellow prisoners and the prison officials. They saw the things of the world, and rather than running away from them or hiding from them or pretending like they didn't exist, they prayed, and God gave them an opportunity to share the gospel, even though it cost them something. We as Christians have not suffered like Christians in China and Sudan and other parts of Africa and the former Soviet Union and other places in the world today. We haven't suffered like the Christians did of Jesus' day or of the centuries immediately after that when Christmas first began to be celebrated. We have the wonderful freedom in this country to say, Merry Christmas, Jesus' birthday is coming. Merry Christmas, Jesus loves you. We won't go to jail. We won't have our heads chopped off. We won't lose our jobs or be kicked out of school like some of our Chinese Christian friends had happened to them recently. But we will get to testify to Jesus Christ. That's the privilege the Lord gives us, and I think we as Christians should take advantage of that.
Folks, go to our website tonight, issuesztc.org. Click on demand. You'll find some resources on the subject of Is Christmas Christian? Gretchen Pasentino is co-founder of Answers in Action based in Costa Mesa, California. Have a very Merry Christmas with you and your family, Gretchen.
Oh, we will. And God bless you, too. Have a wonderful Christmas.
Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk with Dr. Mike Horton about the suburbanization of American Christianity. It is a lot like the suburbs, isn't it? Good-looking, well-trimmed, at least on the outside, sprawling all over the place. What's happened to Christianity in the suburbs? How have the suburbs and the mindset there influenced the church more than the other way around? We'll find out with Dr. Mike Horton tomorrow on the program. Christmas is an opportunity. Every day is an opportunity. But Christmas is an opportunity not so much to take back the holiday, because the holiday doesn't matter so much, but to proclaim Christ, really truly born in history, in this world, to save us sinners. It's one among many opportunities. Let's proclaim Christ and Him crucified for us this Christmas. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.